the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate, founded by Mother Maria Elisabetta Patrizi, August 14, 1983. There have been allegations of abuse within the convent walls. Former members of the SMMI allege that they faced physical, emotional abuse, strict rules, food restrictions, and they have likened their experience to that of a cult. These are their stories, in their words. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Cult of SMMI. I'm your host, Scott Mort. This week we continue our conversation with Georgiana. It has been a roller coaster, and I've got to say, this one hit me particularly hard. My mother fought cancer and unfortunately lost her battle with cancer, and Georgiana tells a tale of one of the sisters who had cancer, and it hit me particularly hard. So, to get some legalese out of the way, the views and experiences expressed by our podcast guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the host or the podcast network. While we strive to provide a platform for diverse perspectives and engaging conversations, it is important to note the experiences shared by our guests cannot be independently verified. Listeners should exercise critical thinking and consider these stories as personal anecdotes rather than established fact. There is no way to definitively refute or verify the claims made by our guests. The host and the podcast network are not responsible for any statements made by the guests during the course of the show. Listeners are encouraged to make their own judgments and seek additional information if desired. All that being said, if you, a family member, a friend, were a member of the SMMI and you would like to come on and verify or refute these claims, you are free to do so. You can email me at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. With that in mind, Georgiana's tale continues.
But I do want to go back to the early years when I was in the community, because some of the sisters would be like, oh, you didn't tell any of the meat and potato stories. Oh, my gosh. So at the end of my... towards the end of my novitiate, I started with cancer of the ovaries. And I knew I was sick because I had dropped 40 pounds in 6 weeks. And I kept telling sister, because there was this thing in the Constitution that every 3 days, if you're sick, you need to tell the superior that you're sick. So every 3 days, I'd say, sister, you know that situation I talked to you about? Well, it's not any better. Oh, my God, you're such a baby about things. I'm like, okay. So eventually, I think she got sick of hearing me tell her that. She's like, I don't want to hear it anymore. Just tell it to Jesus. And I'm like, okay. She said, anyway, you're going to be going up to Three Rivers, and you're going to be with Sister Carolyn, and you're going to teach preschool. I'm like, oh, okay. So there were these two sisters who walked me to the train station, shoved me on the train, threw my bags in after me, and laughed. And I was like, well, that was pretty ugly. And all the passengers on the train were like, looking at me and looking at them, I thought, ah, well, you know, no worries. And I just put a smile on my face and sat down. And as I got up to Three Rivers, I just continued becoming more ill and more ill. They had taken me to the doctor at one point, begrudgingly, and there was this one doctor who would see the sisters for free. He was very good, and he was a very gentle and good, holy man. And he examined me, and he said, well, you know, I kind of like to do a test. And Sister Carolyn was like, nope, Mother doesn't allow tests. And he goes, oh, well, then without that, I can only say it might be this. And so he was like, well, you know, she's either got an intestinal blockage or she's, I don't know. She goes, I can't answer that without a test. So time went on, and I became more and more unable to do much. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I mean, I had it like one ensure a day for at least the last month, and that was it. And mm-hmm. And she's like, well, and Sister Carolyn's like, I don't understand this. I don't know what's wrong with you. And if I told her I was in pain, she said, oh, my God, I guess I'll go get you 2 aspirin. I'm like, okay. And then I go and try to lay down, and I wouldn't sleep. So this went on until the middle of September. Now, this is from May until the mid to the end of September. And I was in so much pain. I couldn't bear it anymore. And I was in tears, and I choked him back, and I said, Sister, please, can we call the doctor? So she called Sister Teresa, and I could hear Sister Teresa screaming at Sister Carolyn on the phone. And, oh, my God, is she still complaining about that? Oh, will you? Oh, she, oh, and she just went on and on. She said, fine, let me call Mother and see if we can allow her to go to the doctor. So Sister Carolyn hangs up. Sister Teresa calls Mother. Mother's like, oh, is she still on about that? Well, fine, let her go to the doctor. Well, Dr. Gagnon came to the house. So, because she then called Dr. Gagnon, and he's like, don't bother bringing her. I'll be right over. So within about half an hour, he was at the house. He examined me, and he looked at Sister Carolyn, and he said, what's wrong with you people? Her respiration's so low that if she doesn't get into the hospital, she'll be dead within 48 hours.
What were the other sisters' reactions? Did they seem shamed? Did they seem exasperated? What was the emotion that they portrayed?
Well, I'll tell you, Sister Carolyn was in shock. She's like, well, what's wrong with her? He said, well, she's got something pressing on her, you know, respiratory system that she can barely breathe. And she's like, oh, I didn't know she was really sick.
My God.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
So he's like, I'm not waiting. I'm putting her in my car right now. She's like, well, you can't. And he said, I don't care what Mother says. She's going to the hospital now. So he takes me in his car, and I get into the hospital, and they take me in for the CT scan. And as they're doing the scan, I hear one of the technicians go, oh, my God, what is that? And the other one said, and look, there's another one. The one of the cysts on my ovaries was the size of a football, and the other one was the size of a softball. And they were crowding my organs and pushing them to the point where that was why I couldn't pass anything or eat anything or breathe. So I had a complete hysterectomy, and I was a week in the hospital, and it was a nightmare when I came home, too. There was a Lebanese sister, Sister Marie Trez, who I just, the cruelty and the, it was like jealousy. Like I was getting attention that she should be getting, or she didn't want to be there. That was supposed to be my job. And I was like, I am very sorry that I almost died and ruined your life.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, had you ever seen this Lebanese sister? You said her name was Mary Therese. Had you ever seen abuse put upon her?
No, but I did, after I was out, hear some stories, not from her, but around the bend. So I don't know what to what about that, but she had post-traumatic stress, I guarantee you, from just having lived in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Because she was young when there was, you know, fighting there in the Middle East. And she would tell horror stories about that all the time.
For our younger listeners, Lebanon during the 70s and 80s and part of the 90s, Lebanon was really, really bad. It was, yeah, a lot of the hijackers in the 80s, there was a rash of hijackings, and a lot of the hijackers were Lebanese people. It was, you know, it seemed like, I know right now we have trouble with Iran, we have trouble with Iraq. Right now there's the whole Israel-Palestine thing. Lebanon was like that at the time. You don't hear too much about Lebanon anymore.
Right.
But yeah, it was bad. Look up your history. Look up your history, folks. It was bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and then that sister Denise that Patricia and I both mentioned, she was also Lebanese. And I think a lot of times the way she handled things was part of what she endured. You know, she only could transmit what her experiences had been. And I kind of felt that way about Marie Therese too, but it didn't stop her from being a complete, you know, terror sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
Mostly with her towards me, it was just verbal. She was always bashing me. I was like, I'm so sorry for that too. I mean, I said I'm sorry so often that it became the first thing I said every time I had to talk to somebody. Well, I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry I offended you. I was constantly sorry. And when I say it, I'm being sincere, but it was just about everything. While I was healing, when I went back to Stanford, that was when things got very uncomfortable and weird with Sister Therese. She would come in my room every night, and either sit on my bed or she'd sit in the chair next to me, and she'd just go on about her day. She didn't ask me how I was. She didn't ask me anything regarding my healing. She would just tell me about her day, and then she'd complain to me that she was in my room, and I'd say, well, sister, I didn't ask you to come here. You don't need to be here. I'm fine. I need sleep. And she's like, well, I came in here as a favor. You should thank me for all the time I spend in here. And I was like, okay. Thank you, sister. You can leave. She's like, I'll leave when I want to. Okay, this is a no-win scenario.
Yeah.
That was my Kobayashi move. I mean, there was no winning that battle. The Klingons and the Romulans had me pinned.
Uh-oh. You're a sci-fi fan. Uh-oh. Okay.
It was definitely my Kobayashi Maru for about three to 4 months of that. And again, I wrote to the Mother General. I'm like, sister comes in my room every night. Sometimes she puts her hand in places it shouldn't be, and sometimes, it's just a screaming, she's screaming at me because I'm still sick or I'm still recovering. So that was, it was a rough recovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
This just kind of ices it. A couple of years later, one of the sisters got lung cancer and they chose not to allow her to have treatments. And they made me go and sit by her bedside for about a week. Not the whole time, not like all day, every day, but I had to go and live in that house and visit her for, like half hour every day and listen to her scream in pain. And then I got told, well, this is how you die gracefully from cancer. I was like, oh, that sister was out of her mind in pain. And I mean, she was screaming, mama, mama, the whole week I was there. She didn't even know me, and she knew me. It was horrifying. And then I went to her funeral, and like, this, well, she was a hero. Okay, I see what happened there. I see where we're headed.
Yeah, I've got to ask, was that the catalyst that made you go, I need to leave, or?
Oh, I clearly, yeah, at that point, I had just gotten to Rome, but it was 2007 to 2008, and she died while I was there, and. Yeah, it was a whole, we had this, the 25th anniversary celebration, and it would, at the end of my time while I was away, and I said, I need to leave. I need to be, I don't know what I need to do to leave the community, but I'm done. And for whatever reason, they were like, oh, no, you can't leave. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I can. Because I said I want to, and otherwise, then you're keeping me here against my will. And then there was just punishment after punishment. And it was just dizzying. And then as they sent me home, they said, well, you're going to go to counseling. Well, and then this counselor would report back to my mother general. So I'm like, well, I'm not telling you anything. And she's like, well, but you're here to work through things. I said, I'm not working through things with you. Cause you're gonna, well, she goes, no, that would be against my ethics. I said, so you're religious and you want me to tell you everything, but you also have to talk to your superior. And you have to make reports, right? And she goes, well, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm not telling you anything. Yeah, we're not working through anything. So that was a big waste of time. But it actually got me out of the convent, so I was like, whatever. And I didn't have to take anybody with me, so that was even better.
Thank you for joining us once again here on the Cult of SMMI. If you'd like to reach out to us, please feel free to email us at strangepathwaysmail thebrainfarts@gmail.com. Thank you once again for joining us. Take care of yourselves and each other.